Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell, and it's that time of year again. Yes, the March issue of Cincinnati Magazine is the Where to Eat Now issue, right on the cover and all through the middle. Donna Kovrat's top 10, 5 hot new restaurants, 12 best dang dishes in town, 4 chef's gardens, and so much more. And it's always a pleasure to welcome Donna Kovrat to the Cincinnati Edition program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great top 10. We'll touch on that, but just have to say, reading this and all the accompanying articles, wow, the food scene in Cincinnati is just amazing.
It really is. It has blown up even just in the past 2 years, but it really started about 5 years ago, turning around, and it's only getting bigger. I mean, it's so much fun to be a part of.
I mean, so many things happening in so many places around town, and, you know, down on 6th Street where a number of new restaurants are opening up, of course,
right.
you have all these new developing restaurants tucked into corners here and there. It's just, frankly, you don't know where to turn to get where you want to go, because there are so many places to choose from sometimes.
Good point. Exactly. But it's also just exciting to see people plugged into the city again via these restaurants, people out on the sidewalks packed. I remember even just a few years ago, you know, coming out of Ensemble Theater Company and looking up Vine Street and it being deserted. And now the sidewalks are crowded and restaurants are the ones drawing them. And I'm thrilled.
Well, we'll talk about the top 10, but you had some ancillary articles I thought were pretty fun. The Fit to Serve, that comes right after your top 10 in the March issue of Cincinnati Magazine, who takes, we were talking before the interview began, it's not only the food, a lot of times it's the service that makes a meal happen.
Well, I would say it is the service, and that the real product of the restaurant industry is service. You know, it doesn't matter if you're having a hot dog. If it's served, if you have a welcome and a goodbye, and it's served with a little bit of panache, that becomes the best hot dog you've ever had. And then the opposite is true, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a $50 steak, it can be a great steak, but if it's served with indifference, then it's not such a great steak. It's not such a memorable experience.
Oh, the
so
experience is
the
so
service
much
is everything,
yes.
And that is the real product of the restaurant industry.
So how did you find these young men and women that you feature in the Fit to Serve article? I mean, fascinating stories.
Some of them are kind of rock stars in their own field. So Kelly Lowe Phillips, who's the very first one on the first page, she is the owner and partner of La Poste Eatery in Clifton, a fabulous restaurant, and Django Western Taco in Northside, another great restaurant. And her story is great, of just how she started in this business after soccer practice at 10 years old with her best friend bagging cheese at Gold Star. And she's been in the industry ever since, and she absolutely loves it. I mean, it's just a wonderful article. So she was a natural. And then another one, one of my favorite bartenders in town, and from what I found out from the response in the article, is pretty much everybody's favorite bartender in town, Jeannie Murray at Jean Robert's Table. And she had been at the Bistro before. She had had history in Teller's and other restaurants. Her philosophy is amazing. She's so warm, and she's a people person. I mean, and that's what you need in a bartender.
A very genuine, too.
Very, very genuine. Yes, very, very genuine. And then Leonardo Cangiano. I just want to say that like that. Leonardo Cangiano.
Trying to do your Sylvia Pajoli here.
That's right. Leonardo is a server at Nicola's. He's very animated. He's warm and talented. And he's one of those who will make sure that you're experience at Nicola's will be a memorable one. And he's so funny. And what a lot of people don't know about Leonardo, if they do know him as a server from Nicola's, is that he thought he wanted to be a chef. So he started out in Nicola's kitchen for years.
Really?
So he was back there making the food.
and found his other talents.
Well, I think Nick Piatoso, the owner, said, "We need you out here." And he came out, and he's been out in the dining room ever since. And then Joe Lefton. Joe was at La Poste. That was the last place. And he just moved to Metropole as the restaurant manager. Again, someone who's so well-respected. He's been in the industry forever. He knows wine and beer. He was at Teller's. He worked with these other people. And then several others.
You'll have to check them all out. I mean, we'd like to give kudos to everyone, but we got so much to cover, because we'll go from that, from the Fit to Serve to the gardens, the Garden of Eaton, as you say.
I love writing headlines.
the local, you know, locavore movement wanting food that's local, and it doesn't get any more local than some of these gardens.
No, and some of the gardens, for example, one is in Over the Rhine, a very urban garden. It supplies all of the food, or a lot of the food, to Local 127, Chef Stephen Geddes. And Justin Dean is the master gardener, and it's right on 14th and Walnut.
Right.
And then there's a rooftop garden.
I was going to say, then you're talking about downtown, too, on the top of a building.
On top of the Carew Tower. And
yeah,
that
the orchids.
Megan Keetover and Todd Kelly, who have several colonies of bees up there.
There's got to be some tired bees getting up there, too.
Oh, but I'm bump.
But I'm bump. But yes, and then across the river in Mainstrasse.
Oh, I love this garden. This is what a great community effort. So this is a real effort from several restaurateurs and chefs that got together in Covington, and then the community association. So Mainstrasse Village Association, John R. Green Company donated a big lot, and they, in a short period of time, put up this amazing garden that they all draw from and goes into their various restaurants.
As I said, that good local food. And we have to give a shout-out to one of my favorites out near where I live, Annabelle's Andouille.
You go there.
Right,
good.
Indeed.
Oh,
right there behind the restaurant.
There.
And oh, wow.
Oh, so wonderful place. I have so much fun whenever I go there. I just love this. So here's this little roadside tavern. Yeah, and eating indoors is great, but during the seasonal, you know, nice weather, they have this amazing backyard. And at the very end of it is this great cabana kind of tiki hut along the river. And you pass this half-acre garden on the way. Lots of okra.
Big okra. Big okra.
And so this is, so Chris Mullins, the owner and the chef, standing out amid his okra. And most of the stuff they grow, again, goes on their very New Orleans and Cajun-inspired menu.
Well, let's go to the top 10. We won't run them down necessarily, but in the process of arranging the top 10, you see some familiar faces and familiar places. But every year it changes. But how do you go through that process of trying to weed all these great places down to 10?
It is agonizing. It really is. It is not an easy thing to do. Even all the years I've been doing it, I agonize over it every year, because I love so much more, many more than 10 restaurants, and to fit them all into 10. But yeah, some of the familiar ones, I mean, these are people that operate consistently at a great level, and maybe that's the key word, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So you have Todd Kelly at Orchids at number one, you have Jean Robert's Table, these people who, as you say, have that consistency.
Right. I mean, to operate a restaurant, I have been there. I mean, I was in the restaurant business for years. I know what it takes, and it takes a juggling act every night. I'm surprised more things don't go wrong on a nightly basis.
True.
You know, so the ones that operate at such a consistent level, that's how they keep showing up. Now, for marketing purposes, I'd love someone else to be number one. I'd love to really shake it up, really and truly. But when I go back, you know, year after year, and all the times I dined there, I'm blown away.
Yeah,
I mean,
Todd
literally
Kelly
blown
always
away
coming up with some new stuff.
By how much him and others, you know, rise to your expectations.
And one other question, because we only have a moment here left. You know, you go from the Orchids at the Palm Court through Jean Robert's Table and Bouquet. Eli's Barbecue, number 10. What a range of food here. How do you balance that
Hog
out?
Hog heaven. Oh,
Hog
gosh.
Heaven.
There's mine.
Are you talking about what you're eating or the way you're eating?
Both.
So, but that wide spectrum that we have here in
all
Cincinnati.
All of these restaurants on this list, they have one thing in common besides consistency. Whatever it is they do, whether it's pulled pork and mac and cheese and ribs, in a cash-only little Q shack on the river, or among the gilded splendor of Orchids, you know, at 1 and 10, they all do what they do really, really well. So this isn't a list about fine dining, or maybe I should say that it's fine dining redefined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fine dining is a new definition now for all of us. And I absolutely love Eli's. I've loved him since the moment I walked out of our office on the Crew Tower and found him on Fountain Square. And what he does really, really well.
Well, thank you, Donna, for all you share. And thank you for the hard work of testing all these places, too.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your continued support of the culinary community. We really appreciate it.
Donna Kovret, you can read Where to Eat Now, the cover story for the March issue of Cincinnati Magazine on newsstands now, plus more online as well at their website, which you can get to through our website, wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition.